We enter into your throne room this morning, full of grace and mercy. God, excited for a new year. Lord, hopeful for what you are going to do in this new year. But God, at a time that we so often look ahead, allow us to also look back and say, thank you for what you have done, for what you have gotten us through. Some people in this room have had the darkest year of their lives. And Lord, they're just praising you that they can sit here today. So God, we do that. We give you praise and honor and glory, the glory that only you deserve. God, I ask that you speak through me this morning, that you use this message to touch a soul. Speak life to the depressed soul. Speak peace to the anxious heart. God, show someone today that they're carrying burdens that they're not supposed to be carrying. And God, we ask again that you speak this morning, that your voice is heard, that your face is seen, that your heart is made known, and of course, that your word is clear. Allow me to become less. Force me to become less so that you can become more. God, I pray today, this morning, for the persecuted church around the globe. Again, those that don't have the freedom that we have here in this nation to proclaim the truth from pulpits, in the streets, holding Bibles in our hands. This is such a beautiful freedom that we have. Allow us to steward it well, and we pray for those that don't have it. Keep their eyes on you. And Lord, we also pray for the peace of Israel. We continue to knock on heaven's gates for the sake of Israel, praising you that you are a God that can get beauty out of ashes. And again, God, we pray for peace. Lord, make your word crystal clear today. Make your gospel known. Make your vision clear. And again, touch a heart. Save a soul if it be your will. We praise you for who you are. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, hey, it is really good to be back with you. I have to get something off my chest. I was looking at houses in Florida again as we were going through this sickness in the -5, whatever the degree temperature is out there. I'm just kidding. We're not going nowhere. But we are so glad to be back. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your texts, everything. It means the world. We felt it. Now, a year ago, I stood before you and I casted a vision. Does anyone remember that vision? Since I have casted that vision, as you have just seen, many of you have just become a part of Hope. So this is actually the first time that you're hearing this. A year ago, I stood before you and casted a vision. Now, if you're in that boat, if you are someone that has just jumped on board over the last 12 months, I want to say that you have been prayed for and that you are a crucial part of this vision that God has given to Hope Community Church for such a time as this. Now, I'm not necessarily going to get into this whole idea of what a vision is, what it consists of. I have preached on this in the past, and if you'd like to watch one of those sermons, I can give you a link, give you the resources about elaborating on what a godly vision is, but I'm going to make it simple. A godly vision is one that is marinated in prayer, it is emphasized by the Holy Spirit, and it is affirmed by God's Word. Okay? So visions, they can come in different ways, and I can guarantee you, you've heard them misconstrued. You've heard them done the wrong way, taken out of context. Maybe the guy that's on TV that says, go, I had a vision. God told me to tell you to sell your house and donate all the money to this ministry. That's not a godly vision, okay? That is so far from it. That's actually of the devil, but I'm not going to get into that today. Visions can come in different ways, but again, they are always in obedience to God's word, and they always give God the glory, okay? They're always in obedience to God's word, and they always give God the glory. I'm not going to go too much more in depth, but I do want to bring attention to this vision that God gave to Hope Community Church for such a time as this. 1 year ago, I stood before you, and I stated that God was going to double the size of Hope Community Church in just 2 years. Remember, it was called Two in Two. two and two. And our response as a church is, how do we steward this growth? I then went on to remind us that this growth is not to be a goal of ours. Do you remember that? This growth is not a goal, but rather it is going to be the outcome of fruitful ministry. I'm going to say that again because I want you to remember that. This growth is not a goal, but rather the outcome of fruitful ministry. And this ministry, I then went on to elaborate, is going to be the teaching of the truth of God's word. The teaching of the truth of God's word then held up by three pillars, the three pillars which are community, discipleship, and evangelism. It's coming back. Some of you guys are clicking, oh yeah, I remember that. These three pillars, they would hold up the truth of God's word, but of course they would rest on the foundation, which is the banner of King Jesus. Okay, and then the word that I used, the all-encompassing, the big umbrella that I used to put around this vision was one word. One word. Do you remember? No, you don't. It was this: simplicity. Simplicity. Now, I remember casting this vision that God was going to double the size of our church in 2 years, and it was met, of course, with optimism. But don't get me wrong, there was no short of negativity. But at the end of the day, I firmly believe this: God has been moving at Hope Community Church, and there is nothing else for us to be more grateful for. People go where God is present, and it is very evident that God is present at Hope Community Church. And again, there's nothing else to be grateful for. So with that being said, let me remind you of a few things that took place this past year that are evidence of God's sovereign hand here at our church. Okay, we're going to celebrate, it's called. It's okay to celebrate. We had two marriages right here within our own congregation. We praise God for that. Two couples right here in our own church got married. We had three people declare Jesus as their Lord and Savior through a profession of faith. We had three baptisms. Praise God. We had started a new senior care ministry towards the end of last year. A lady that said, hey, there's a need in our community. I want to help to meet that need. And it's been doing so well. We transitioned to two services. How much fun was that? Amen. We added a new children's classroom in the back because of the growth that we are seeing. Praise God. And of course, last but not least, we got a new lawnmower. New zero-turn John Deere lawnmower. We're taking volunteers to get the lawn mowed this summer. If you're interested, raise your hand later. So as we talk about doubling the size of our church, the focus of our discussion, it's not about the quantity, but the quality. Numerical growth is what occurs when spiritual growth is prioritized. That's why I stated that our growth that is going to come is not to be a goal, but rather the outcome. Why? Because if we grow but have no fruit, we are nothing more than a full-grown fruit tree that has been taken over by disease. Yeah, it might look beautiful from a distance, but is it really any use at all? But if we grow and we do have fruit, man, there is nothing that is more unstoppable than a biblically sound church with a gospel-centered mission. A church that is in tune with the Holy Spirit and what He is doing. A church that is unafraid to preach the truth of God's word. A church that loves one another. That's one that will not just grow, but souls will be saved and ultimately God will be glorified. So with that being said, I know that there are some number crunchers in here, and for you, I wanted to put this together. I began researching what is average for a healthy church in terms of growth, and I'm glad that I did this after I casted the vision because I probably would have scared myself out of it. I was able to find that, quote, on average, a healthy church will lose about 10% per year, yet will offset that decline with a 15% gain, resulting in a 5% growth. So in other words, based on statistics, a healthy church is one that grows by 5% a year. And let me tell you what we have seen this past year at Hope. From 2023 to 2024, our worship service attendance has grown by 66%. Yeah, praise God. That's right. Our nursery attendance, listen to this, has increased by 150%. A lot of kids being had in here, you know. Dawn or Nakia was shaking her head last service. Our kids' attendance has grown by 66%, and our membership has increased by 60%. Again, remember, a healthy church is one that grows by 5% a year. We must give all glory to God for his goodness, his grace, and his provision here at Hope. So I was praying all throughout 2024 that during this increase in size, that God would provide people that will help to build this church and ultimately God's kingdom in Lowell, Indiana, for such a time as this. People that are aware and awake to what God is doing here and don't want to just watch, but they want to join in on this move of God. So many of you are an answer to that prayer. Now, with that being said, with 1 year of this vision behind us, the question that you're probably asking yourself is, well, what's next? What does year two of this two-in-two vision hold? How can we make sure, as followers of Jesus, that we are ready for a prompting of God to work and move in our life? How can we know? How can we be in tune to when he speaks? How can we be listening? Well, as I like to do for all the questions that I get, that we get, to find answers, let's go look at God's word. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be looking at 3 through 5. The sermon for today is 2 in 2, part 2. Say that with me. 2 in 2, part 2. Come on, one more time. 2 in 2, part 2. There's a lot of twos going on. Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. We're going to skip around in there. We're not going to do verse by verse for all three chapters, but we're going to give you the context that's necessary. Exodus chapter 3. We'll start by reading verse 1. Through 12. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. If you're there, say, I'm there. Man, it's so quiet in here this morning. If you're there, say, I'm there. Okay, let's go. Verses 1 through 12. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. Can we praise God that he knows our sufferings this morning? Verse 8, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression of which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Point number one, God speaks to those who are listening. God speaks to those who are listening. So here you have God giving Moses one of the most dramatic visions that history has ever recorded. A bush that was on fire, but was not being consumed. Moses sees this bush up in flames, but not being consumed, as he is out tending sheep, and he thinks to himself, "Wow, what is that thing over there? Why is that bush not being consumed? I need to go and check this out." So that's what he does. He goes to approach it. You see, it's because Moses was awake and aware that the Lord gave him this vision that could not have been more clear. He was always in tune with what the Lord was doing, and when the Lord wanted to make himself known, Moses was ready, and the Lord knew that. And then what the Lord says to him is absolutely incredible. Look at verses 8 and 9. The Lord says to Moses, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." He then continues in verse 10. God speaking to Moses. He says, "I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children, out of Egypt." To put it simply, God says to Moses, "I'm going to use you to change the world for the good of my people and for my glory." But let's think back to the context. Remember? Moses was out tending his sheep in the wilderness. In fact, they weren't even his sheep. They were his father-in-law's. And he is a shepherd. Now he's going to lead a massive group of people to freedom out of the hands of the strongest, militarized, and most corrupt people on the face of the planet. But again, Moses was just out tending his sheep. You see, God gives you a vision at a time when you least expect it because he wants to make sure that he has your attention and that you don't forget what he said. God wants you to always be listening so that when he speaks, you know that it was him and that you're ready to go. If Moses would have been so focused on the task at hand, so busy with his job, or maybe even his own agenda, if he had his own punch list of things that he wanted to get done, he would have missed the very call from God himself. This is a problem that we so often see today. I often get people ask me, "Man, I just don't know how to hear from God. I can't seem to hear what he has to say. Why is it that everyone else seems to know what he's saying, but I just can't listen?" My response is always the same. Are you listening? We have God's written word right here in our hands at this very moment. God is speaking, but we have busied ourselves with so much noise and so many tasks that we have drowned out his voice without even realizing it. And then all of a sudden you look back and you realize that you have been out of tune with the Holy Spirit for much longer than you could have ever thought imaginable. My friend, the question is not whether or not God is speaking, but whether or not you are listening. You say, "Man, I'm just so busy. Life's just so fast-paced. How do you make time for something like that in life that's going at a pace that's unhealthy for all of us?" I would say, man, just because life moves at a fast pace doesn't mean that your soul has to. You see, here in verse 11, Moses questions God. He asks him, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I?" Then you see the two reasons that God chose Moses. He was humble and he was willing. In verse 4, God calls Moses and his first response is what? He says, "Here I am." Three words that changed the course of history. He didn't hesitate. He didn't question. He knew that this was the Almighty God and that he was willing to listen to whatever he had to say. Church, for this next year of this vision, I want to pose the question to you. What are you willing to say, "Here I am," to this year? What are you willing to say, "Here I am," to this year? What do you need to get rid of in your life so that you could better hear what God has planned for your life, for your ministry, for your family, for your job, for your school? You know, it's so easy as a church to look around and dream of things that we wish that we could provide. You know, I wish we offered this. I wish that we could give this. I wish that I could benefit from this. But what if instead of dreaming about something, you started doing? What if instead of pointing from your pew, you put your boots to the ground, you picked up your plow, and you got to work? What if instead of dreaming, we started doing? That's what our friend Sharon Kaminsky did last year. She said, "Man, we need a elder care. We need a senior care ministry. There's two nursing homes right here in our community that are unchurched. How do we get the gospel in there?" And she started a senior care ministry just like that. That's what our friend Ed and Sandy Van Vieren are doing in these next few weeks. They noticed, "Man, we need these small groups. Let's get some small groups started." I'm going to give you more on that in the next few weeks. I firmly believe that the Lord is going to do incredible things here at Hope in this next year, all because of followers of Jesus that are willing to say, "Lord, here I am." If God was to call you to step into something new, my friend, would you listen? Or would you just keep tending your sheep? So Moses goes back and forth with God about how he's not qualified, right? God gives him these many signs that he is going to be with him, and he even promises, "Hey, you know what? You're right. You're not the best person to talk. You're not a good speech giver. You didn't do good in classes in college." No, he didn't say that, but he said, "I'll get it. I'll give you some help. I'm going to give you Aaron. He will speak on your behalf. You tell him what I told you, and let Aaron be your mouthpiece." Moses then goes in from the wilderness, following this vision, following this conversation that he just had with a bush, and he goes to see his father-in-law and asks him for permission to see if his family is still alive. And he essentially asks Jethro, again, that's his father-in-law, for permission to go and do exactly what the Lord has called him to do. Now, could you imagine how this conversation had to look? Be a fly on the wall in that room. Hey, Jethro, maybe he said, hey, Dad, I was just talking to this bush out front that was on fire, and it told me that I got to go and rescue like 100,000 people from slavery. Do you mind if I go?" And what's Jethro's response? He says, "Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead." Could you imagine? And as Moses was on his way to Egypt to take on this God-ordained vision, the Lord tells him that he is going to harden Pharaoh's heart, so it's just going to get more difficult. He says, "I'm going to tell you to go. You're going to go and do this. Oh, and by the way, he's not going to listen. He's not going to submit right away." Moses then gets this news, and he arrives in Egypt, and he meets up with his brother, and that's where we're going to pick it up. Okay, so like I said, we're going to skip around, go to chapter 4. We're going to read verses 27 to 31. I like that. Series convenient. All right, chapter 4, verse 27 to 31. The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak, and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard, listen to this, guys, and the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their afflictions, they bowed their heads and worshiped. Point number two, God speaks to those who are willing. God speaks to those who are willing. Moses didn't waste any time to get to work. He instantly again went in to ask his father-in-law if he could go and do this thing, and that's exactly what he did. Now, it was about that same time that God told Aaron to go out and meet Moses in the wilderness, and once they met, it was clear that God had already prepared Aaron to receive the words that Moses was going to share with him. It wasn't as if Moses had to convince Aaron, because the Lord had already paved the way. You see, when you're willing to do what the Holy Spirit has called you to do, the mission becomes more faith-based than labor-focused. I'm going to say that again. When you are willing to do what the Holy Spirit has called you to do, the mission becomes faith-based, not labor-focused. You don't have to strive and work and work and work, because it's not you, it's the Lord. You begin to realize that the Lord has truly made the path in front of you. You just need to be willing to walk it, even if you don't know what's ahead. Moses knew that because of a conversation he had with a bush that was on fire, that clearly God was going to do something. He didn't know what lay ahead, but because of what he had seen in his past, he knew that the Lord was in it. And if the Lord was in it, even if it involved risk and getting uncomfortable, there was nothing that he would rather be doing. Because of the willingness and obedience of Moses, he then went to the elders of Israel, and all of them believed. Did you hear that? All of them believed. Verse 31, look at it. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. I could imagine this scenario. Moses was on his way to tell Aaron on the back of a donkey. He's thinking to himself, who in the world, he's running this thought through his head, who in the world is going to believe this story? You know, hey, I saw this bush in the wilderness, and it told me to come and tell you that God is going to rescue all these people. Who in the world is going to buy into that? Well, the answer is right here. They didn't just believe. They worshiped God because of the words that Moses had spoke. Isn't it interesting how doing the Lord's will is almost always easier than you think? We play these scenarios in our head. How in the world is this actually going to happen? There's no way that this is right. There's no way that I'm supposed to be doing this. No one's going to believe me. And then you take that step of faith, and you realize that God was already there ahead of you. And when I was confirmed that the Lord was going to be doubling the size of Hope Community Church in just 2 years, I was like, and I'm about to present this to leadership here at our church. How is anyone going to buy into this? How in the world, who would believe that? You heard the statistics. 5% is a healthy church. Doubling in 2 years? What? And all the leadership was like, well, that's exciting. And I'm taken aback. And I'm over here like, nobody is ever going to believe that. And then I brought it to the staff. I remember bringing it to the staff at the church. I'll never forget it. All my years of ministry, I don't think I'll ever believe this one. And I told the staff, guys, I think that what the Lord is going to do here in 2 years, he's going to double the size of our church. And they looked at me like, only double? And I'm sitting here like, man, tapping my foot. And then I presented this to each of you guys just a year ago. And it was like the snowball from there was kicked down the hill. And we are watching even today this beautiful vision come to life. But what I want us to bring our attention to is this. Verse 31, the people worshiped not because of the fulfilled vision, but because God had visited them and had seen their affliction. The people worshiped, again, I'm going to say it, not because of the fulfilled vision, but because God had visited them and had seen their affliction. What a blessing it is. My friend, dear Christian, what a blessing it is that we serve a God who speaks and who sees our affliction. That alone is a reason to worship. And that's what the people of Israel did. God used Moses, a meek shepherd, to lead the leaders of Israel, these elders, to worship of the Almighty God. God used Moses, a shepherd, all because he said the three words, "Here I am." And everything was smooth sailing from there, right? Everything was nice and easy once that conversation was had. There's this beautiful worship service that's taking place, and it all just was smooth sailing from there, right? Absolutely not. Let's keep reading. Verses 5, 1 through 9. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, so you see they're taking hold of the vision. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." The same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle." Therefore they cry, "Let us go and offer sacrifices to our God." Verse 9, "Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words." The final point for us this morning, God speaks to those who are bold. God speaks to those who are bold. So God gives Moses this radical call. Let's review. We've got to keep the context at the forefront. God gives Moses this radical call through this bush that's burning but not being consumed. Moses tries to convince God that he really isn't the man for the job. God then gives Moses these many signs that he is going to be with him. Moses and Aaron then reconnect, and they go together in this calling from God. They go and they get all the elders. They're all on board with this vision. And finally, they do exactly what God commanded them to do. They confront the Pharaoh. And this is where it gets really good. You can see in just 3 short chapters, Moses goes from a meek shepherd to a man confronting the king himself. You see, that's what the power of God's word does. That's the power God's word has. It gives you the boldness to confront kings. It gives you the boldness to confront wrongdoing, to bring to the forefront any issues that are not from God, because you stand on God's word. As a church, when we stand on God's word, we not only have permission to question the laws being put into place, but we have the authority to confront the lawmakers. I would even go as far as saying that we don't just confront the unjust, unbiblical laws that are passed, but we be proactive and proclaim the truth that we know. I firmly believe this: a lot of problems can be eliminated if we are to preach truth from the start instead of waiting for things to hit the fan before we start doing it. It's easier to not make a mess at all than attempting to clean one up. I tell my kids that all the time. It's easier to not make a mess at all than attempt to clean one up. Just because, I want to say this too, and we're going to talk more about this in the next couple weeks, just because things seem to be going our way as people of God doesn't mean that the devil is giving up. If we can proclaim the truth, listen, to an unjust, ungodly king, like we have been doing for the last 4 years, we must not let up when things change. Because once you let up, you eventually give up. And once you give up, you see the gospel start becoming watered down. And let me assure you that there is absolutely nothing about God dying on a cross that could possibly be watered down. The gospel that we have, the truth that we have, is not a fun, happy message. It's a life-saving message. It's a life-changing message. It's a soul-saving message. It's a history-altering message. And it's good news to all who believe. As a church, and hold me accountable to this, we are going to continue to stand firm on the truth of God's word, and we're never going to let any amount of wokeness or corruption get in our way, so help me God. There's something about staying in step with the call from God that gives you confidence to confront even the most severe corruption. Moses was called by God. He was affirmed by Aaron to go before the king. And that's exactly what he did. Moses was so motivated by this vision that he received from a burning bush that he was on fire to make this come to fruition. He was given permission by God to confront the king, and there was nothing that was going to stop him, not even himself. So he appears before the king, and everything goes the way that Moses expected, right? No. Absolutely not. Pharaoh essentially laughed in his face, told him to leave his presence, and then he went and told the foremen, which are like essentially the slave owners of this day, to make the work harder for the Israelites, much harder. They were now to produce the same amount of bricks, but they also weren't going to be given the same amount of resources. So they had to go and find the resources for themselves, but the output needed to remain the same. And the idea was that so they wouldn't be listening to the lies of Moses, so he thought. So Moses obeys the call from the Lord, and the situation that the Israelites were in, it gets much, much, much more difficult. And to top it all off, the people then begin to turn on him. But just because the work became more difficult didn't mean that the calling from God had changed. But Moses, of course, was a man of faith, and he was a man of God, and he didn't lose sight of the vision. Friends, church, it's so important for us to stay on mission. As Moses went about obeying what the Lord called him to do, he had to go to Pharaoh how many times? 10 times before he finally gave him permission to leave Egypt and worship his God. He had to go to him 10 times. And even after he said he could go, he followed him anyway. But Moses was listening to what God was telling him to do. He was willing to do it no matter what resulted. And he was bold enough to move it forward no matter the consequences that came. And what resulted? What resulted because of Moses' obedience was this. Historians consider what Moses led to be the greatest freedom movement that the face of the planet has ever seen. And we are still living in its benefits today. All because a shepherd responded to the call of the Lord with these three words, "Here I am." You know, so much can happen to a humble follower of Jesus that is willing to listen to what God is saying, that is willing to do what he says, and is bold enough to watch the vision come to fruition no matter the consequences that are ahead. So Hope Church, with a new year in front of us and the later half of this vision coming to fruition, let us listen to what God is saying. Let us listen to what God is saying. That is one of my favorite parts of being a pastor, is helping people listen to what God is saying. Let us be a people that is listening to what God is saying, being willing to do it with all that we have, and be bold enough to take steps forward even when we don't know what lies ahead. When you hear that voice of God calling you to do something, my friend, how do you respond? How much power is in those three words? Lord, here I am. Let's pray. So God, here we are. A people that desire to hear you speak, that have a heart to want to hear from you, God, because there are so many voices in this world, but it's that small, subtle voice that comes from your word that has the power to change our life and to save our soul. And God, we do that. We praise you. We praise you that you are a God that sees us, that hears us, and ultimately has a relationship with us. God, for the soul that's here right now that doesn't have that relationship, Lord, I pray that they find that in them today, that salvation with you is so simple. It's just reaching out, saying, Lord, I understand that I'm a sinner. I want you to be my Savior, and putting faith in you. And God, it's because of the gospel that that's possible. Your death on the cross. And it's for that we praise you this morning. We thank you for your cross, for sending your son Jesus to earth to die on that cross. But of course, it doesn't just end there. He didn't die. He rose again 3 days later, proving that through faith in him, we can have eternal life. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen.